Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Please call someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know we are live on the air. Today is April the 30th, 2012. We thank each and every one of you for joining us on this evening. Please know that the chat room is open for discussion, for questions. April is Sexual Assault as well as Child Abuse Awareness Month. This is the last Monday in the month of April. And we are excited about being here on this evening. Please grab pen and paper so you can write down some important information. Let me just give you some information regarding my email address, my contact information, odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds, O-D-D-S, _against_U@yahoo.com. You may email me. And please, in your email subject, simply put the Victory All Odds acronym, capital A, capital V, capital A, capital A, capital O, so that I do not accidentally delete the email. You also may leave me a message on my confidential voicemail box at 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900. Extension number is 343-658#. You may get up to an hour. And lastly, you may visit the website. The website is www.oddsagainsttheletteru@webs.com. Again, that's www.oddsagainsttheletteru.webs.com. And go to the contact us, leave your comment, question, and or your concern. Again, today is the last Monday in the month of April. And I was just sitting here thinking about that. I will soon be my one-year anniversary coming up here very shortly. My hot time does fly. On last time we were on the air, we talked about sexual assault, the definition of what rape is, the different definitions according to the North Carolina statute. We also talked about what consent was. We also talked about what unconsent was, what means yes, what means no, and we broke those definitions down. I thank each and every one of you. Obviously, that is something that was very important. As I've looked out there, several hundreds of people have gone to that website and have listened to that particular episode. So that warranted me to go back and dig up some of the earlier definitions from the early episodes that we did on sexual assault. We're going to talk about the definitions. We're also going to talk about child abuse and prevention and what that looks like for our future seed. So, again, thank each and every one of you for listening via archive or live, those in the chat room. So we wanted to just continue with definitions as we talk about rape. We also talked about sexual battery and what that looks like. We talked about aggravated battery, aggravated rape. So we wanted to just touch bases again. At the beginning of the year, before I go there, I mentioned to you that 2012 was going to be a year for victory for you. And again, we still stand on that as we continue to move forward. This is the last day of April. We're getting ready to cross over into the fifth month, which is grace. And so we just thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy. Today being April the 30th, we know that four represents creative works. Creative works, and we know that 30 represents the beginning of ministry and the maturing of ministry. So we just know that some of you have matured since the beginning of the year. We know that we are still separating good from bad, and we're beginning to expose some things. We're beginning to mature in some things. We're getting ready to mature in our growth. We also know that as we move forward, we begin to see evidence of the strategic tools that we introduced to you in 2011. And not only that we, but we'll begin to see evidence of healing and deliverance, as I've said, at the beginning of the year. Now we should be able to begin to see some fruit for those who have listened and who have been with me for a moment. Those who are just joining and have coming into the fold, coming to the broadcast and being a support and being a listener. Some of you who have listened, this is your first time. You begin to pick up these tools as you listen to the previous episodes. And as we're going back and just beginning to pick up some of the definitions that we talked about and beginning to just lay the foundation, we just thank God for you. And we also know that the victories may not necessarily be great, but the small victories are just important because we are not standing still. So we are grateful and we are just thankful that we will begin to leap into new territory, making new ground, that we will, being giants, have tore down some things no matter how big or small. Our victories are still against the odds nonetheless. And for some of you, beginning this year, we also established that 20 represents redemption, meaning restoration and healing, and 12, meaning divine order, are beginning to break down some things. And we decided to break down 2012 even further than that so that you can get a better understanding of where we're going with this, that one meaning the beginning or primary order. We're beginning to put some things back in order that was out of order. Two being division, that we're beginning to separate light and darkness. So we're getting ready from the beginning, and we'll go back to, as we talk about sexual abuse, and we're talking about sexual abuse, break down and separate the good and the bad. So now as we move forward and we talk about sexual battery, we're going to talk about sexual battery, and we're going to define what sexual battery is. Sexual battery is unwanted form of contact with intimate parts of our body that is made for purpose of sexual arousal, sexual gratification, or sexual abuse. Sexual battery may occur with the victim with their clothes on or with their clothes off. It is a crime, which varies by state. So you need to go and find out what your statutes are, what your laws are concerning sexual battery. So those local laws should be consulted. You should go back and find out what constitutes sexual battery in your state. And just to kind of give you a little bit more detail as to what that may look like, here is an example of what sexual battery may look like. Let's say a person who touches an intimate part of another person's while that person is unlawfully restrained, okay, by the accused or an accomplice. And if the touching is against the will of the person who touched and is for the purpose of sexual arousal, sexual gratification, or sexual abuse, that person is guilty of sexual battery. So we talked about last year what rape was and how we defined all of that. So we're kind of stacking again. As we talked in the beginning of the year, we're building bricks. We're building bricks. Bricks build a house. Sexual battery means oral, anal, or vaginal penetration by or union with the sexual organ of another person. okay? And that can be annual, anal, vaginal penetration, or by another or any other object. Could be broom, whatever object that person begins to use. Okay, now we're going to move on to what aggravated battery is. Now, just the word aggravated definitely lets you know that it sounds aggressive. To aggravate means to irritate. So definitely we're building on just regular sexual battery. So now we're going to layer that. Aggravated battery is a little bit more serious than form of battery. So it's considered a felony. Whereas in the other one may not necessarily be a felony, but a criminal, just an offense. Well, aggravated battery is a federal offense, since it may be punished by fine or more than a year in prison. You need, again, check your state, but pretty much it's probably a federal offense any state you go. A battery is a physical contact with another person to which that person has not consented, okay? The definition of aggravated battery varies state to state, like I've mentioned before, and typically it consists of one of the following. Usually it consists of use of a deadly weapon, battery in which serious bodily harm occurs or injury occurs, or there is an intent to cause the bodily harm. Battery involves a hate crime, battery against police officers or vulnerable persons, such as a child, excuse me, or an elderly person. So we talked about just regular sexual battery. We talked about aggravated battery. Now, let's talk about aggravated rape. Aggravated rape is an offense of rape that is defined under the circumstances which renders the offense even more horrendous, more hideous, more harmful. The severity of the crime may be because the factors increase. Here are the factors that make it aggravated rape. Okay, so that person has the age, the tender age of the victim, so the fact that they're tender, the person must be someone who is not able to have consent. Blood relations between the accused and the victim, meaning that they're relative. The victim is aged. The offender is armed with a weapon, an older person, an elderly person perhaps. Or it could be a person who is able to consent. However, the offense is the fact that there is a weapon used, meaning that it was against the person's will. More than one offender raped the victim, a gang rape, in other words. So these things make that aggravated rape. Aggravated rape is very serious. The exact definition of that term, of course, again, as I stated, may vary from state to state, nation to nation. And aggravated rape is a different form of forcible rape. We talked about rape last time. Rape which occurs during commission of specific crimes such as assault and battery by means of dangerous weapons constitute aggravated rape, punishable by harsher penalties more than what just simple rape would be. And again, I gave you those factors. Now, I just gave you a bunch of definitions, so let's break down the difference between a battery and assault. Okay, so The overt behavior of an assault means something like this. Let's say person A advances upon person B by chasing after him and swinging his head. So the overt behavior of the battery might be that person A actually struck person B. Battery requires that a violation has occurred, resulting in harm or an offensive contact with the other person. That would be person B. and is committed for the purpose of causing a harmful or an offensive contact under circumstances that render such contact sustainable, certain to occur, or with reckless disregard as to whether such contact will result. So an assault is an attempted battery or the act of intentionally placing that person, person B, in apprehension of a harm or an offensive contact with him or her, that person. So in some places, depending on where you are, what state you live in, assault is the threat of a violence against another person, while aggravated assault is the threat with a clear and present ability and willingness to carry out that act. Likewise, battery is undesired touching of another person, while aggravated battery is touching of another person with or without tools or a weapon with intent to harm or restrain that person. The difference that makes it aggravated is that there is an external weapon, tool used in that situation. And so that is just another layer as we talk about sexual assault awareness. And in addition to sexual assault awareness, April is also Child Abuse Awareness or Child Abuse Prevention Month. So I just, as we close out the month of April, I wanted to just touch on child abuse prevention because, as I have stated in the past, my goal is to get to prevention. We're doing a lot of layering. We've done a lot of the tiers on rape and sexual assault and abuse, domestic violence, laying that foundation. The ultimate goal is to prevent, is prevention. So wanted to talk about a little bit about what child abuse prevention might look like. What is the future hold? What does that look like? Our future, our children, we're talking about our generation, we're talking about our seed. What does that look like when we have exposed our children to such environment that causes them threat, harm, that causes them to be fearful for their life, that brings stress in their life, that causes them not to feel safe? What does that look like in the future? We are needing to get this word out because we are trying to prevent child abuse. You know, the tools that I have given you are tools for those who have endured, those who have suffered, those who have gone through. But what would it look like if we could just prevent that from happening, if we would not turn our head, if we would speak up, if we would talk, if we would tell? What would that look like? The future prosperity of our communities, our states, and our nations depend on our ability to foster the health and well-being of our next generation. Innovative states and communities have been able to design high-quality programs. Remember, we've been talking about community support, community programs, community awareness, community engagement. To reduce and prevent child abuse and neglect, these programs have been created specifically and significantly long-term improvements for children and are the kind of innovative things that we need. So we need ingenuity. We need ideas. So we now know that the basic architecture of the human brain is constructed through an ongoing process that begins before birth, because we're talking about that child in their developmental stage in the womb. Everything starts in the womb from conception. So I have a problem with those people who say, you know, it's not a baby till it gets here. So wrong. Wrong answer. Okay, so again, the basic architecture of our brain is constructed through an ongoing process that begins before birth and continues into our adulthood and continues until we actually leave this earth. Okay, so when we are building a house, well, let's just use a house as an example. When we are building our house, we go through a step process when we lay our foundation, correct? When we're laying a foundation, we want our foundation to be strong. We don't want to build our foundation out of sand. We don't want to build it out of straw, because when the storms of life come, our foundation is not stable. Just like a house has a strong foundation in early childhood, our childhood years increase the probability of a positive outcome. So a weak foundation increases the odds of later difficulties when we talk about brain development in our children, in our seeds. So again, that strong foundation begins in the womb. We also know that all parts of the children need attention. We know that we need attention. Children need attention. Cognitive, emotional, and social capacities. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. We're not just talking about their spiritual. We are talking about the whole child, their cognitive development, their emotional development, their social development. Those capacities affect each other and the developing of the brain. Intervention and support for children and families must attend to the development of all three of those domains, not just one part. We need balance. Just like we need balance in our life, we need balance in our Christian life, we need balance in our social life, we need balance when we talk about our children. We can't do one without the other. We need that whole child, that whole child. We're talking about our future. What does our future look like? Okay, so we know how to create stronger foundations for children's development. One active ingredient is serve and return. What do I mean by that? Serve and return. Serve and return is our interaction with each other, our communication with each other. Just like we talk to each other, we talk to our children. Again, my belief, evidence with my children, it's in the womb. It starts in the womb. It starts in the womb. Okay, so relationships with their parents and their caregivers and their families and their communities. Serve and return. Like the process of serve and return in games such as tennis and volleyball, young children naturally reach out for interaction. So that still needs to be a balance. When you serve that ball, the person on the other side needs to return that ball in the same manner that it was served. Okay? So when adults respond by mirroring back those interactions in a consistent way, I just said that, the children's learning process is complete. So it needs to be balanced again. Well, what does that look like, people? What does that look like when that is interrupted? When that child serves and they don't get the return that they need? When that return is interrupted? When there is no return? What does that look like? What does that feel like to that child who has reached out, who has served, and there was no return, or that return was interrupted, or it was not returned in the same manner that it was served? What does that look like? We call that stress, okay? So when children are in an environment where this process is disrupted, their brain development is harmed. So let's talk about stress. Why did the return not come back as it was served? Well, when we talk about stress, we all have stress. life can be stressful. But there are certain stresses that push us to our next level. We know this. But what does that look like for a child? Well, children have stress. We just don't think about it like that because that seems like such an adult word. But when children are learning and they're processing things, it could be something simple. And I'll use my children as an example. My youngest twin, I have twin boys. My youngest twin, when he was discovered his fingers in his hands, he figured out that his fingers, his hands, could take that pacifier and put it in his mouth. So he would literally just sit there and just pull it in, pull it out. So there was a serve and there was a return. He figured out that his hands worked and it did things and moved things. And then when it came down to him tying his shoe, well, I take that back. He didn't tie his shoe. He learned Velcro. He had Velcro, and he figured out that if he pulled that Velcro, it did something, and when he pulled it back, it tightened it up, and he was learning development. Well, when he went from Velcro to tying his shoe, he became frustrated because he was trying to serve, but the return wasn't coming back, meaning he tried to tie his shoe, but it did not look like the way mommy tied it. So there was frustration. That was stress. So that's what I mean when I say children experience positive stress. Okay, let's take that a little bit further. Such successful meetings, the challenges of learning a new skill. That's what we talked about, learning a new skill, like tying a shoe. Children may also experience difficulty situations such as family move, death of a loved one, and other challenging things in their life. Here's the difference between healthy and unhealthy. When this stress is buffeted through an environment of supportive relationships, the stress becomes tolerable and less damaging to the children, to that child's development, okay? Just like us as adults, when we lose a loved one, if we've got supportive family members, you know, supportive friends to help us get through that tough time. But guess what? As time goes on, we bounce back. But what does that look like for adults when there is nobody there, when there's no support system, when there is no return? We've served, but no one answered our call. When we needed help, when there was no one called. I thank God because we serve a God who gives us return. And I just had to throw that in there for just a moment, if you will allow me to do that. So let's continue here. Let's talk about what happens when there is no return, when the stress is not tolerable, when you can't bounce back. Okay, we call that a little bit more chronic. We call this, as we talk about child abuse prevention, toxic. What does toxic stress look like? Experiencing a chronic stressful condition, such as neglect or abuse, is what scientists call toxic stress and can disrupt development of the brain. Because remember, we're talking about brain development. We're talking about the architecture of the brain, just like building a house. All the parts aren't there. What does that house going to look like when it's finished? Is it going to be stable? Is it going to be able to stand the test of time? Is it going to be able to stand the stress of weather? Weather, we use weather as our stressor. When the storm come, when the tornado come, when the earthquake come, when the hurricane come. Okay, so this can lead to a lifetime of difficulties when we have toxic stress. Learning, memory, and self-regulation. Children who are exposed to serious early stress development and exaggerated stress response that over time, and they have not recovered, there is no support there, weakens their defense system against disease, heart disease, diabetes, and depression. Toxic stress. That's toxic stress. When we don't attend to those important aspects of development when they are children, now, when they're small, now, when they're preschool. Now, when they are teenagers, now, when they're in their early adulthood, can get interrupted. They may have a strong foundation and know some things, but it still can get interrupted and it still can get toxic. There are serious consequences later. Serious consequences. Trying to change behavior or build skills on a foundation of a brain circuit that was not wired correctly or properly when they were first formed requires more work and is less effective. That's the same as our house being built on a foundation, being wired, walls put up, plaster put up, and then you later go in the house and found out it was not done correctly. Guess what? The walls have to come tumbling down. How much work, how expensive is that when you talk about building your house? How expensive is that? Takes time. This means we need to invest in the kind of programs that prevent child abuse and neglect. Foster care, clinical treatments, and other professional interventions are more costly. We just talked about that. And produce less desirable outcome than nurturing productive relationships and appropriate experiences early in life when we were laying the bricks, when we were wiring the house, when we were putting up that plaster. Pay now or pay later. We're talking about child abuse prevention. We don't want to have to pay later. Cost too much. It costs us a whole lot. And for some, it costs their life. Amen, somebody. We can evaluate the efficiency of child abuse and neglect prevention programs by comparing the benefits of the investment to the cost. How much does it cost to do it right the first time versus having to tear those walls down, those walls, and redo the wires cost you more later than it did if you would have built your house out of brick the first time around. If your serve and your return was done correctly the first time. This allows a reliable comparison between programs that don't improve child development and those that show real results. When we invest in the kinds of programs that actually support healthy brain development in our children, our future, our seed, we will see results of a more prosperous future. We want our future to be bright. We want our children to be prosperous. We want them to be successful. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be balanced. And most of all, we want them to be productive citizens because guess what? They're going to someday be taking care of us. They are going to be our leaders that are going to be our presidents, our senators, our governors, our lawyers, our doctors, our law changing. They're the ones that's going to be shifting the atmosphere, our preachers, our apostles, our prophets, our evangelists, our teachers, and our pastors. I had to stop right there. That's happening. Wow. That is something to think about. It really is something to think about. Again, when we invest in the kinds of programs that actually support healthy brain development in our children, we will see the results in a more prosperous future. When we make investments in our children and in our families, the next generation, we pay it back through a lifetime. And I'll say that again, a lifetime of productivity and responsible citizenship, return on our investment. This is a return on our investment. That is awesome. This is a return on our investment. We do not want our children to be subject to abuse and neglect. We do not want our children in a constant state of stress. We do not want to be in a situation where our children do not have constant support. Why? Because in the absence of supportive relationships to help for those stresses, again, they become toxic reactions. And we wonder why our children are on medication, are in jail. I just turned the television off not too long ago before I aired, just flipping through the channel, and had just happened to stop on a program where a 14-year-old girl, she was 14 years old, who her mother couldn't do anything with her. 14. She busting down doors, stealing, arson, fighting, suspended from school. Seven times. I can't imagine. I can't imagine that. That's just beyond my head. But I work with children who were only 2 and 3 years old, and their mother couldn't do anything with them. Two. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. If you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. I don't understand. That is so beyond my head. A 2-year-old rule in my house out of something, so your house? No can do. But this is what happens. This is what happens when there is lack of support. When the stress is toxic. When this happens, harmful chemicals flood the child's brain and their bodies, causing them to have damage in their developmental brain architecture, disrupting their normal child development. So I just want to say that we have to do better. When we do this, this leaves the children vulnerable, causing many of them to adopt risky social and health behaviors, such as smoking, sexual promiscuity at an early age, and illicit drugs and alcohol use, among other things. Again, those risky behaviors lead to poor physical, emotional, mental health, and even early death. I told you it would cost them their life. We're not supposed to bury our children. Our children are supposed to bury us. So there must be a continuum of services available in communities, your community, in your state, to ensure that all children have the opportunity to grow into contributing citizens. This is my plea to my listeners. This is my plea. That we don't turn our heads to our children. When our communities are successful, assuring children have the environment and the experience necessary for their healthy development, the next generation responds to that so that the effects of a lifetime of productivity have the knowledge, their skills, the resources, and the social support they need, so that they are able to provide a safe, stable environment to their children, so that they can thrive, so that they can live, not exist. We do not want to exist We do not merely want to exist. We want to live. We want to be productive. We want our children to be productive. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be balanced. Socially, mentally, emotionally, cognitively. We don't want our children growing up drug dependent so that they can sit still in school so that they can learn. We don't want to go and visit our children behind bars. We don't want to stand over a casket crying over our children because their needs didn't get met. Their serve and return was out of balance. And now we're burying them. They're 13, they're 14, they're 17, they're 23, they're 25. We do not want to do that. So we must be mindful. We must offer tools to help us to create awareness of the importance of preventing child abuse and neglect in your community, in my community, and tools to help the families that you work with, that you know, in your neighborhood, in your town, in your state, working to build nurturing services and return relationships with our children. We need support systems in our communities, in our neighborhood, in our churches. Don't forget the churches. We need support. Single parents need support. I'm a single parent. I need support. Fortunately, I was able to make wise decisions concerning my children, and my children are 15. I don't have any trouble out of them because I taught them their first life lesson, which you are your brother's keeper. I have no sibling rivalry in my house. Matter of fact, I have the opposite problem. They're inclusive so that I have to keep them engaged with other people because they're so close. And they tend to tune everybody else around them because they're just so close to each other. And that's a good thing. But, again, it needs to be balanced. So we need to include others so that they don't think they're in a world in a bubble by themselves. But this comes from starting early. Talk to those children when they're in the womb. It starts from the womb. So I just thank each and every one of you for listening and tuning in this evening. My chat room is doing its own little thing, so please forgive me. And I wanted to just say thank you for listening. I am done for the evening. I wanted to just thank each and every one of you for listening. Trying to figure out what's going on with my chat room. Okay. I just killed it. That's all. All right. Well, thank you, each and every one of you, for listening. I hope that you will begin to understand the importance of prevention and begin to think about what you can do as individuals, as a community, as an organization to help our children and to preserve their future so that they can live a productive and healthy life. And if I see there are people out here, I wanted to know if you got something to say, do you have anything to add? We do have some time. I'm done. I've said all I know to say, and I don't want to override the Holy Ghost. I've kind of said everything I needed to say for this evening. So if you have anything to add, if you've got a question, like I said, this is where we're going to be going as we pick up continued community support. Even though April is Sexual Child Awareness Month, Child Abuse Awareness Month, doesn't mean that just because May is rolling in, we don't talk about it. Again, as I always say, please do not turn your head to child abuse, sexual abuse. Know your signs, know your symptoms, pay attention to the children. If you are a caregiver, if you are a teacher, if you are a parent, look and listen. Hear, discern, so that we can make a difference in the lives of our children. It costs less for us to do it right the first time, to build the house the first time, than it is to have to tear down and rebuild. It costs us less to invest in our future now than have to try and reinvest in it later. I'm going to open the line. If you have something to say, that's fine. I'm only going to call out your last four digits, and I will not, and if you do not have to give your name, if you're not comfortable giving your name, that is not important to me as much as it is for you to be a voice, for you to have something to say, if you have something to say. If you do not have anything to say and you just want to listen, that is absolutely fine. Just let me know. So I'm caller 3890, area code 910. My computer is being very slow today. I was trying to open up your line. It acts like it doesn't want to move today. Okay. It's still trying. I thank each and every one of my listeners for being a good, just being a support. I had no idea how many people I have impacted. I just thank each and every one of you, those that are listening in Africa, those that are listening in the Middle West. I just thank you for your support. I certainly could not do this without you. I'm trying to get my lines to open up this evening, and they're just not, my computer is not cooperating with me. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead on and end this session, because it doesn't look like my lines are going to open for me, and close out with some music. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for listening this evening. I cannot get my lines to open. Okay. Well, thank each and every one of you for listening this evening. And I just, I will not be on the air. I haven't decided. I will not be on the air on Monday coming, but I will certainly be on the air on the second Monday in the month. Be blessed and take care. I cannot get nothing to work today. Wow. I don't know what's wrong with my computer today. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. Okay, well, I am going to end my episode. Because everything is locked up. You be blessed and have a good evening. Okay, I cannot get the song to end. I can't get nothing to work. This is crazy. Thank you. I got your message. But I don't hear anything. I need somebody to let me know if they're hearing the music because I am not. And I don't know if it kicked me off the air. No. If you can hear music, I need you to text me. That person that texted me. I got your message, but I don't hear my music. So if you can hear it, let me know. I don't hear anything. Minister, if you can text me to let me know if you hear music, that would be wonderful. Thank you for sending that text. Okay, thank you. Okay, well, if you heard the message and got the word concerning everything else, I'm going to go ahead on and end the episode, and I do apologize. Not sure why. My music is coming through and my lines won't open. But I thank each and every one of you. Again, this is Evangelist Benton, and I thank each and every one of you for joining me today, April the 30th, 2012. And God bless each and every one of you. I hope I've said something that will encourage you, something that you can take with you, something that you can use tools to help you, strengthen you, to help you with your family, your friends, your coworkers, in your church. If you need to contact me, please do so. You may call my confidential voicemail box, 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900. 3900. My extension number is 343-658 pound. You may leave an extensive voicemail, and I will, no matter what state you're calling from, I will be able to connect you with resources to help you get you what you need, whatever your request is, or if you have a concern, or if you need prayer. Please give me a call. I certainly don't mind praying with you. Don't mind being a blessing. If you need for me to come and speak to your youth group, speak to women, I'd be glad to do that. Contact me. You may write me, Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531. Again, that's Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. Again, that's 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 611. God bless you and have a good evening. Yeah.